Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
We're going to continue in our series talking about reminded and changing the way that we think. And so Romans 12 verse 2, it says this: do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. How many of you through the last couple weeks as we talked about renewing our minds and changing the way we think, how many of you have experienced a little bit of change in your thought process and the way you look at life and the way you're walking with the Father? Anybody? Anybody got some changes? And so this morning, we're going to continue in this. And why don't we just take a moment and pray? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it's living and that, Lord, it speaks to us today. Father, I pray for everyone across the room to open up their ears and open up their hearts to hear from you. That, Father, you'll allow it, we will allow it, Father God, to transform the way we think and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning that as we turn to listen to the word, as we turn to hear what God has to say, I don't want you to listen for my voice. I want you to listen for Holy Spirit's voice. Here's the thing. Some of you may be nervous to raise your hand in the house of the Lord. I'm not sure why. Because if I said, hey, who wants $100? There might be a few, right? Like a few more hands will just freely drift up. And so here is my thing for you. If you've been here for the last 2 weeks hearing a message on how you think and changing the way we think and changing the way we see the Lord and the way we understand life. And when I ask, hey, has it impacted your life at all? And about 10 people in the room raise their hands. That either lets me know one of two things. What I'm communicating isn't getting through. You're too nervous to raise your hand. Or when you walk in here on a Sunday, you really don't care what's communicated. You want to check off a box that you attended church and go home because you're totally satisfied where your life is. Most of you would sit here and go, no, that's not me. Then I actually want you to open up your hearts to hear the voice of God speak to you this morning. Not me. Don't listen for my voice. Listen for Holy Spirit, because he will speak to you way better than I ever will. But see, when we look at Scripture, see, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church, and we're going to talk about this in the next couple weeks as we continue the series on Reminded. But what I saw in the church on a Sunday morning really didn't apply outside the church in a lot of people's lives. And yet we want to see our community change, but see how this is how it changes. Understand something when I say this, and this is going to be like, I'm going to have to explain it probably. You can pray for 24 hours a day for your neighbors and your loved ones, for God to touch their hearts and change their lives. And I believe he can do it. But if you don't allow God to touch and change your life, so that they see a loving God, who's he going to work through? So there's a power of us allowing the Father to transform who we are. And see, this morning, I want to talk to us about one of the things that really is hard for us as believers. It's one of the biggest challenges I believe as believers is walking through difficulties. Walking through difficulties as we are trying to renew our minds and understand who God is. It's when we go through difficulties that our life shines more than it ever does. More than it ever does. Because see, when life is going great, it's so easy for me to praise the Lord. We don't see many athletes finish last and go, I just give all the praise and glory to the Lord. It's when they win that they praise the Lord. Do you praise the Father through the challenges and through the difficulties? Do we admit in the good times, do we admit as seasoned Christians that we still need the Father, that we still need Him to mold and shape us? Do we believe that we have yet to achieve it? I'm not talking about striving. I'm not talking about feeling unworthy. But I am talking about holiness and righteousness. Father, shape my heart, change my heart, the way I think, the way I see things. Mold me to be more like you. See, one of the biggest witnesses we can have for others is how we walk through difficulties and stay faithful to our belief that God is a good God. I won't actually get you to raise your hand on this question. But do you really believe that God is a good God? Do we really believe that He's a good God? The reason I ask that question is because when you go through difficulties, do you question His character? Does your theology change? See, Bill Johnson, he says this, I believe it is a powerful act of spiritual warfare to stand in the middle of death and disease, conflict and unresolved issues, and to cause your spirit to rise and give thanks to God. See what he says, to cause your spirit to rise. See, for me to cause anything to rise, there is a choice, there is an effort. We choose it. We choose how we're going to respond. And we give God praise. There was a missionary, and she was driving from South Africa to Mozambique when in front of her there was a small bus driving, and it began to lose control, and it went off the highway, and it was driving about 60 miles an hour. And as it went off, it began to roll, and these passengers were thrown from the bus. And so she and some other people stopped to help, and as they walked around the site, they began just to find a gruesome scene as they went from victim to victim. Many of the people had life-threatening injuries, as you can imagine, horrible head injuries, and many laying unconscious. And there was one woman who was clearly, clearly dead, with no vital signs, and pardon the graphics, but her head was facing backwards, and she had an eye on her cheek. And so this missionary is actually a Stanford grad and a physician's assistant. And she began to take bystanders and place them with each victim. And what she asked them to do was she told them to speak life in the name of Jesus. Just speak life in the name of Jesus. And she said this to them. She goes, when I look over, I want to see your lips moving. See, for many of us, we forget that, like, speak life over something. As we ask you to pray for the persecuted church, as we ask you to pray yourselves, for you to pray out loud, your lips actually have to move. That's how, from the platform, I can tell whether you're praying or not. I can see your mouth moving. Minutes later, as she was assessing the casualties, the woman who was assigned to the dead passenger, she screamed. Because the dead woman had groaned. I don't know about you, but most of us would scream in that moment. She groaned. This is a little bit weird, but she turned her head back around. And when she turned her head back around, she began to breathe, and everyone was amazed that her vital signs were back. But not only when she turned her head back around was she looking forward, but her eye was back in socket. So the story continues that obviously everybody was amazed. And guess what happened? It caused all of the other bystanders to pray more and with more faith for the ones that they were over. And within a short time, the unconscious regained their conscience, and those with serious wounds stopped bleeding. And many of the injuries were healed, and the people were spared who would have died. They just spoke Jesus. They just spoke the name of Jesus. And they began to see change. I don't know about you, but I could imagine as they're over top of somebody and they're praying for them and they're just speaking Jesus, depending on the situation, if we're honest as humans, our effort in prayer might be very little. If we're honest, if we were kneeling over the lady whose head was looking the other way and no vital signs, how hard would we actually pray? And here the missionaries just speak life. And then all of a sudden, the one who, if we're honest and transparent, we have the least amount of hope for. Miraculously begins to breathe, is looking the right way, and eye is back in. How much more would that all of a sudden stir in your heart to begin to pray more for the one in front of you? And see, this is why Scripture tells us in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which we talked about this morning, and by the word of their testimony. We need to share our testimonies, big or small. See, some of us, we hear the story of the lady whose head's the wrong way and her eyes are on her cheek, and we go, that's a testimony to tell. Chad, I don't feel like my testimony of I had a splitting headache the other day and I prayed and the headache went away. I don't feel like that's a testimony to tell. Until you're sharing it with somebody who has a splitting headache and just wish it would go away. Our testimonies are powerful. It strengthens one another. It lifts each other up. It's how we overcome. When people tell me testimonies of how God is moving in their life and working in their hearts and changing their lives, and a physical touch or a spiritual touch or a forgiveness that happens or a relationship restored, it stirs in me. And it should stir in you a passion for God. See, Jesus says in John 17, verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you. He's talking to the Heavenly Father. And he says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. See, you and I, we can have confidence to work through difficulties and know that the same Spirit that is in us is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Therefore, the Spirit that is in you is stronger than the Spirit that's in this world. Whatever is attacking you, you're stronger. But see, we need to renew our minds when we face difficulties in our lives. This verse is a verse that I love. I know this verse. It's one of my favorites to hate. Anybody have a favorite verse to hate? Just me? I'm just being transparent. Anybody else read a verse and you're like, I don't like that verse? None of us like the gluttony verse as we get closer to Christmas. James. See, most of you already know where I'm going. Right? Some of you are like, oh, come on. Okay, there's a verse I love to hate. James says this. Consider it pure joy. So far, we're good. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, how many of us right there, just pause. If we're honest in the room, as we talk about renewing our minds, how many of us, when we hear this scripture, we can confess, okay, God, I need you to help renew my mind. Anybody with me? You can raise your hand. We are Pentecostal. It's okay. Is it, you had an extra hour of sleep. Did you forget deodorant this morning? Is that what makes everybody nervous at the moment? Just raise the hand that's closest to your loved one. If it's somebody on the other side that you don't know, raise the other hand. Your loved one's supposed to love you. I'm supposed to consider it pure joy. When I face trials of many kinds, why do they add of many kinds? I don't want many kinds. I don't want any kinds, let alone many kinds. But pure joy. Anybody have a difficult week this week? I'm asking for a lot of hand raised this week. It's okay. You can do it. I promise. Anybody? Hard week? Anybody? You can raise your hand. How many of you got to Friday and were like, oh man, I just wish I could go to work tomorrow? Most of you enjoyed Saturday because you didn't have to go to work, and therefore, your trial this week was most likely left behind. Consider it pure joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Here's the dilemma. Most of us don't want to be mature. Most of us don't want to be mature in our faith. You want to know why? Because we love a Lord who continues to feed us the bottle. Who continues to look after us, nurture us. But many of you today that are over the age of one and a half, really means if you're in this room, it's you, are very thankful that this afternoon when you get to go home, you're not going home to drink a bottle. You're going home to meat and potatoes. We love it with our food, but we don't like it in our spiritual walk. Because see, here's the thing. For us to grow spiritually, we need to build our spiritual muscles. And the only way that you build muscle is through resistance, through work. But most of us just want to enjoy a spiritual babiness. Because here's the actual truth. Verse 3, you know. because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Because the things in the past that you went through have made you stronger today spiritually. So we have to let perseverance finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know how Jesus says, I want you to have life and have it to the fullest? It's connected. It's connected. It's connected. See, here's the thing. None of us like trials. But they do have the ability to make us better. But you and I have to make a choice. You and I have to choose to make sure that they don't make us bitter. And see, what happens in our walk with the Father is the moment he removes that bottle, you have a choice to become mature or become bitter. That's up to you. That's up to you. It's actually a choice. I want you to consider a pearl. Anybody have a pearl necklace on? Anybody? No? Wasn't expecting, but thought I would ask. But everybody knows what I mean by a pearl, not pearl, but a pearl. Not like Pearl who attends here, but a pearl. Right? We all understand. I'm not talking about pearl. I'm talking about a pearl. I'm not a big jewelry person, but I understand how a pearl is made. A grain of sand gets in an oyster. And to protect the oyster, a pearl is formed around the sand. So a pearl, a precious jewel, is formed out of irritation. Do you know how many of you are supposed to be a precious jewel? See, when we go through the fire with God, it talks about a refiner's fire. It brings the purity of gold in our lives. Many of us are supposed to be jewels, beautiful jewels. But none of us like the process. None of us like the process. I'm with you. Please hear me. I'm not standing before you and going, oh, every time I face difficulty in my life, I just do cartwheels and I just bounce and jump around and like, life is wonderful. No, it's not who I am. I'm the same as you. But this is why we're doing this series, so that it renews my mind and it changes my heart and it changes who I am and it changes how I think. Because the only way I have become a better person and a better father and a better husband and a better friend and leader is because of difficulties I've gone through. It's the difficulties that make me look in the mirror. See, when I go through difficulties and problems and situations and difficulties, and I can point and be like, well, it's Atticus's fault. And just because Finn pointed at him, it's Finn's fault. Do you know how easy it is for me when I point blame at others? But you want to know what a mature person does? They look inside. They look inside. See, even if it was Finn's fault or it was Atticus's fault, they're never sitting up front again. Even if it's one of their faults, they are showing something in me that needs to be changed. See, I truly believe I truly believe that I am not responsible for either of their actions. I am only responsible for mine. Chad, what do you mean by that? I mean when the scripture tells us that if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. That I mean, I believe that's what we're called to do. Because see, I couldn't stop either one of them from slapping me if they wanted to slap me. But you want to know what I am responsible for? I'm responsible for my actions in return. So I do have a choice. I can return a fist, or I can turn a cheek. The choice is really ours. This is why God has to transform our hearts and our minds. Because when you and I walk through difficult times, it's not easy. It's not fun. But yet James challenges us to consider it pure joy. See, the Bible's pairing of praise with irritation is not coincidental. See, when you and I are stuck in conflict and uncertainty, and yet we praise him, it's out of sacrifice. And it's only sacrifice if we praise him without trying to manipulate the situation. Okay, God, I'm going to praise you, but this better stop today. Chad said that if I praise you, things will change. So I'm going to praise you, but it's going to change. No, it's praising God, knowing that he's in full control and things might actually not change. What might change is your heart. What might change is your maturity level in the faith. The way we react can produce something beautiful. In a moment, it can form a gate where the presence of the Lord can walk in, where the glory of God can invade our situations. See, many of us, we don't have a gate because we don't praise him. What we actually end up doing is we accuse him. We end up that we accuse God. How, God? Why, God? How can God promise to heal, yet I'm sick? How can God promise to provide, yet I'm without a job for 3 months? See, the gate, the place of praise in the midst of conflict and trial, that's where his presence is. That's where we find rest, in the middle of it. See, when we go through difficulties, we can end up changing our view of God to actually an anti-biblical view of him. He doesn't heal. He won't help. He won't help our finances. See, uncertainty causes some of us to misunderstand who God is. Some of you today, you're not sure who he is because of what you've gone through. Some of you began to deny God's true nature and embraced a sickness or a disease or poverty or a mental anguish as a gift from God. And it's not true. See, what we have to understand is Romans 8, 28, it says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin is entered. But God works things all out for good for those who love him. For those who love him. It's a promise that we can hang on to. In the long run, he's going to work it out. It's going to be peace from it. So we have to get this part straight in our walk with God. God is good all the time. The devil is bad all the time. So we are to praise God all the time. We are to consider it pure joy when we face trials. See, when I hit trials, when I hit difficulties, here's what I begin to ask the Father. And I'm getting better at doing it earlier. It saves my own frustration. I begin to ask God this when I hit trials, when I hit difficulties. Father, what are you trying to teach me? Father, what are you trying to get out of my life? Lord, is this a sandpaper moment or is this a jackhammer moment? Because here's what I've learned. And students, if you can catch this at your age and learn it before my age, you'll be way ahead of all of us. Okay? If you ask the Father, when you're in a difficult time, God, what are you trying to show me in my life? What are you trying to change in my heart? And you let him change it, two things will happen. You won't have to face it again because you dealt with it. And the second thing, you get out of it faster. Because you're a good student. You want to learn. When I ask God, God, what are you trying to change in my heart? And he shows it. Here's the thing about God. He's a loving Father. So guess what he does when you ask those questions? He answers them. Sometimes almost too quickly. You know, like that painful quick? You know when you're like that hurt, not so much here, but more here? Like that's when it hurts. He's so quick sometimes when it's like, God, what are you trying to change in my heart? And he just speaks. And then I ask him, show me how. And then he shows me how. See, many of us, we don't deal with it. And then that's why we ask the Father, why am I back here again? Why am I going through the same situation again? Why does it feel like everywhere I go, this happens? The consistent factor everywhere you go is you. It's not that there's something wrong with you, but God wants to mature you. It's actually not every coworker that you've worked with. It's actually not every boss that you've had. It's not every teacher that you have. They don't all suck. They're not all mean. Sometimes you guys just have character issues you got to work on. If mom and dad haven't told you yet, I apologize that I did. The faster that we can learn and understand that there is stuff in our lives that we need to get better at, that we need to change, the faster that we can have our hearts changed and our minds transformed. See, what we have to realize is when we're in trials, we don't just sit back and praise and worship. I know that's what I'm telling you, praise in the middle of it. But you don't just sit back and do that. You press in. We praise and we worship to a place of spiritual warfare. We fight, but we're fighting a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. I want you to understand something. If you're not new to church, if you grew up in a church, I'm not sharing verses with you this morning that are new. You've heard many of them. But it's a reminder that what God is doing, the battle that is happening is not between you and the person beside you. It's not between you and your boss. It's not between you and a coworker. It's not between you and a neighbor. It's a spiritual authority. It's a spiritual realm. When you begin to understand that my battle is not against you, it's amazing how you can walk through trials with a little more joy. I want to talk to you just real quickly about a couple things that Jesus walked through, a couple battles that he had. In Mark 8, we see Jesus where he's walking along. He comes and he's doing some healing, and he meets a blind man. Blind man needs healing. Jesus healed many blind men, but in this case, he takes the blind man by the hand. He walks him out of the city, spits in his eyes, puts mud on his face. I'm not sure why he does this, just to clarify. But then he prays, and he asks him, "What do you see?" And the man says, "I see men walking around, but they look like trees. So I'm not blind, but my vision is still blurry." Chad translation. So Jesus says, "Let's pray again." Prays a second time, and the man is healed. The next chapter, Mark 9. Jesus comes walking along, and as he comes walking along, his disciples are praying with this young boy who's tormented by a demon. And they're trying to cast this demon out, but they can't. And when Jesus shows up, the father goes to him, "Jesus, if you could do this, please do this." And Jesus goes, "If I can, everything's possible." He just speaks, and the demon's cast out. The disciples later in privacy, anybody else can ask this question in private. You don't want to know in public. "Man, we were just trying this the whole time." You ever worked on something really, really hard and you can't get it done, and all of a sudden your dad shows up and he gets it in like 2 seconds? Anybody? In that moment, nobody feels like going, "Dad, what'd you do?" Everybody's just like, boom, storms away. So the disciples stand there as Jesus casts the demon out. The disciples are like, and they walk away. Later they ask, "What happened?" Jesus tells us in Mark 9, 29, he says, "This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting." But I want you to recognize something. Jesus didn't stop and pray and fast. He didn't stop and pray and fast. But his instructions were, these only come out by prayer and fasting. So Jesus is teaching us that he exercised his faith out of an intimacy with the Father. He had a faith vault filled up with time with the Father that he was able to reach into to pray with authority, to pray with confidence, so that Jesus was able to bring heaven to earth and impact this world. It's one of those moments. Don't be embarrassed. We all have done it. 90% of the room is just checking to see if their phone is on vibrate at the moment. That's all that happens. Jesus brought heaven to earth. See, here's what you have to understand, and this is where I want you to hear my heart. My inability in times to bring heaven to earth, it hasn't discouraged me. It's actually driven me to the throne room. It's driven me to have more of God. See, when you walk through something and you're praying and you're wanting to see it happen, you can get bitter and you can go home. Or it can drive you to go, "Wait a minute, I've seen it happen." Do you know how many Christians I hear? "Well, that happens on the other side of the world. They're more desperate than we are." Yeah, they are. They are. So where's your desperation come from? See, I continue to read and listen to books about old healing revivalists that touched and healed people and did incredible things. And I still believe to this moment that the gap between their faith and my faith is this big. It's just a little desperation. It's just a little bit of drive that I want to be in God's presence more. Not so I can do things for God, but because I know that the way he changed their hearts and their minds impacted the world, and I just want him to change my heart and mind so I can be close to the Father the way he desires for me to be close. The Father that I desire to love me the way that I'm supposed to be loved, that wraps me in his arms. That's the Heavenly Father that loves you. And all he's asking for is your time. What if your time with Jesus could change your life? What if your time with Jesus could change your family's life? What if the miracle that you're hoping for actually comes out of time with the Father? When we renew our minds, we will see our challenges from a heavenly perspective. And when we see it from a heavenly perspective, we'll see how he touches our lives and changes our lives, and he uses it to actually make us stronger and better people. We just need to invest in him and spend time with him. That's where we get the perseverance from. I've wrestled to share this part with you because I did not prepare this message for this. But as I was preparing it, I'm like, oh, this is a great place to tell everybody. As I encourage you to press in with the Father, because who knows what it means for your life? What changes he can bring? What new things he has for you? Our heart as leadership, as the church, we want to begin the new year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. You're going to hear more about it as we get closer to the new year. We're actually going to give you a chance to sign up and be a part of it with us so we can pray for you. That's the only reason we want you to sign up, is so we can pray for you. But we're going to start this fast on January 7th. And we're going to continue it until January 28th. Now understand, I'm not looking for you to fast every meal for that whole period of time. It's not what I'm asking you to do. You'll be able to sign up. You'll be able to do. There'll be more explanation coming. But during that time, on January the 12th and 13th, it's a Friday, Saturday, we're also going to have a soul care retreat here at the church. As a pastoral staff, we've invited in Peter Cusick a couple times just to lead us through a time of morning sessions where we just spend time with the Father. And he teaches us different ways to pray and different ways to rest in his presence. Peter is my spiritual director, and he's helped me walk through the last few years of my life. And he just does an amazing job. And so as we pray and fast, it's a time just to come together, just to rest in God's presence and learn how to get into his throne room. And then on January the 28th, that Sunday, in the evening, we're going to end with a prayer summit where we come together, we're going to worship, and then we're going to pray. And this is what most of you want to know. But at the end of the prayer summit, we're going to go into the gym and have a time of fellowship together and break the fast together. I know that was most of the details that people wanted. How are we breaking this thing? But I want you to join us in this. If you've never taken the time to pray and fast, you'll get more details. Again, I'm not looking for you to starve yourself for the 21 days. All right? But what can 2024 look like for you? If you end 23 allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your heart and your mind, to see things from a heavenly perspective, and then start off the year denying your flesh so you could be closer and more sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Prayer team, will you come and join me? As we begin the process of considering it joy when we face trials of many kinds. and we allow the Father to renew our minds and renew our hearts, it's going to help us to become more like God. You and I are going to become gold. You're going to become a pearl. And become mature, not lacking anything. And so this morning, will you stand with me? As we close, there's many people across this room that want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're facing a trial right now. You're in the middle of it. And as I talk about considering it pure joy, it's so far out of reach. And can I tell you, I've been there. There's moments where I'm still in stuff where it's like, man, God, I don't understand. I ask the question, how God, why God? He always brings me back to James. He tells me that he's working in my heart, he's making me more mature. And so this morning, there's people across the front that just want to encourage you and strengthen you. The difficulty is this. Somebody sent me this word during worship. That you've been going through the same thing. And God actually wants to help you. You just need to step out of it and step towards Him. God truly is the answer. And although you may not have experienced it and it may have changed your faith and changed the way you see God, He still is a good God. And if what you're going through or what you've gone through has not been made good, He's not done the process. Because He will work it out for good for those who love Him. And that's you. So this morning, if you need a strengthening, if you need encouragement, if you need perseverance to make it through, to get perseverance, come and let them pray with you. After this morning's service, we are having a meet the pastors in the gym. Don't worry if you signed up for that. We will be there for a while. I want you to receive prayer. I know I encourage you this every week, but I really hope you do. Don't leave here the same way you walked in. God doesn't want that for your life. Let Him touch you today. And so, Father, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your patience, Father. Lord, I am thankful that, Father, as we walk through difficulties and challenges, Your goal is to make us better. That, Father, not every bad thing that comes our way, You didn't even want it to happen. So, Father, we hang on to the promise in Romans that You will work all things out for good. And so, Father, for many in the room, I just declare that You're still working. You're still working. And, Lord, the ones that are in the middle of it, Father, I pray that they ask You, what are You trying to change? What are You trying to shape in my own heart? And Holy Spirit, I pray that You just speak so lovingly and gently, but accurately. And then show them the path, Father, to changing that. That our character will be more like You. That when people see us, they see the fruit of the Spirit. And so, Father, we give You permission to touch us and to change us. Help us to be Your light. Help us to shine for You. And Lord, help us to consider it pure joy when we face trials of any kind. And Lord, we just give You praise and we ask You to change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.